When I was young, I never needed anyone. Making love was just for fun. Those days are gone. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home. All by myself, don't wanna be all by myself anymore. So listen to the Total Christmas Podcast, and I won't be by myself. I'll have you for company.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says me, my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. It's so good to have you here. You are looking fantastic. I just want to grab like a bush of mistletoe, hold it over your head and just kiss you all over. Oh, dear. Did you like listening to me blowing kisses down a microphone? Well, these things happen occasionally because it's Christmas. Now, this week, I'm not doing the interactive bit, okay? What? What, you want to do the interactive bit? But I'm not doing it. Really? Your favourite bit? What about the joke of the week? Okay. Okay, we'll do the interactive bit. That was the interactive bit. How was it? Did you enjoy it? I didn't. Do you know, I've had a few emails since the last episode, but nothing I really need to cover right now. So, should we just get started with the show, or shall I do a bit of a dance? I'm dancing. I'm not dancing, I'm sitting down. Let's start the show.
Yule lugs, you'll love them, I'll love them, we'll love them, we all love the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs. It's another boring Yule log.
Yeah. It's been a while, hasn't it, since we've had a Yule log. Okay, this one's a quick one. It's called Jesus with Yule log, and it is Jesus with a Yule log. Now, I'm no expert on these things, so I'm not 100% sure if it's the real Jesus, but in fact, I'm 100% sure it's not, actually. But it's a guy dressed as Jesus, and he's sitting on a sofa, and next to him he's got a table. On the table is a bottle of wine and a wine glass, and next to that is the fireplace, and it's got a single log burning on it, and it's half hour long, and the log looks the same at the end as it did at the start. I'm wondering if it's a gas fire with a log on it. I could be wrong. I'm no expert again on that either. There's a lot of things I'm not an expert. In fact, I don't know if I'm an expert on anything, actually. Am I an expert on anything? Nope, I'm not an expert on anything. I know a bit about A Christmas Carol, though. Anyway, so Jesus is sitting there in his robes and he's drinking wine. But here's the best bit. You know he's got the table there? Underneath the table? A dog! He's got a lovely dog there. And the dog moves around a little bit. Like I said, it's half an hour long, about 15 minutes. Has it 10 minutes in, 12 minutes in? The dog gets up and Jesus is petting the dog, which is really nice. And then Jesus carries on drinking his wine for the full 30 minutes. And then at the end, his bottle of wine is empty and that's it, it stops. He doesn't get up and walk away, that's it. And I read a funny comment at the bottom because it said, Jesus turns a bottle of wine into water. And I thought, well, I didn't see it turn into water. And then I got the joke, you see. Wee-wee, that's the joke. He's going to turn the wine into wee. That's a joke. Now, this guy on YouTube calls himself Jesus Christ. I'm guessing that's a little bit blasphemous. He's got 1.2 million subscribers, though. And the video, it was posted 6 years ago, and it's had 65,000 views, which, you know, that's not bad, I suppose, is it? Although, you'd think with 1.2 million subscribers, it might have had a few more views than that. And do you know what? There's very little else I can say about it. There's no music, it's literally just the log burning, and you can hear a little bit of crackling. At no point does Jesus speak, and you don't hear the dog bark either. Yeah, so it's half an hour long. I suppose this is one of those where you're not watching the Yule log, you're watching the character in it. Do you remember there was that one we watched with Nick Offerman in, where he's sitting there drinking whiskey? Very similar to that, but this is Jesus with a bottle of wine. And again, you were watching Nick Offerman, you weren't watching the Yule log. And with this one, you're not watching the Yule log, you're watching Jesus and the dog occasionally, who gets up and does some very minor things. Anyway, there you go. That's another one for you to check out if you've got nothing better to do. Jesus with Yule log. Put it into YouTube. It'll pop up. And that's 30 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Now let's do this. What the Dickens? Got an interesting one for you this week, boys and girls. So I'm going to be looking at how poor Bob Cratchit really was. Because I was looking at his wages and I wanted to talk about the money he earned. And I went down a bit of a rabbit hole where there was lots of articles where people are talking about how Bob Cratchit actually earned a decent wage and he was a bit of a spendthrift. And it goes completely against what Dickens was trying to say. So I'm going to start off by playing you a clip. Here we go. This is the first clip where we hear about how much Bob Cratchit earns.
His nephew left the room without an angry word, notwithstanding. He stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season on the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially. "There's another fellow," muttered Scrooge, who overheard him. "My clerk, 15 shillings a week, and a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam."
So there we hear that Bob earns 15 shillings a week. Now, in old English money, it was so confusing. I won't lie to you, kids. I don't actually understand old English money still. But the deal was, there were 20 shillings to the pound and there were 240 pennies to the pound and a shilling was 12 pennies. So that means that Bob was earning 180 pennies. And we can work out from what Scrooge says at this point.
"You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose," said Scrooge. "If quite convenient, sir." "It's not convenient," said Scrooge, "and it's not fair. If I was to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound." The clerk smiled faintly. "And yet," said Scrooge, "you don't think me ill-used, when I pay a day's wages for no work." The clerk observed that it was only once a year. "A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December," said Scrooge, buttoning his great coat to the chin. "But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier next morning."
So he's saying he'd stop him half a crown. Now, half a crown was 2 shillings and 6pence. 2 shillings and 6pence is 2.5 shillings. If he's on 15 shillings a week, that means a day's wages is 1/6 of his weekly earnings, which tells us that he actually works 6 days a week and I guess only gets Sundays off. We don't know what hours he does. Back in Victorian times, it probably would have been a 10-hour day. So he's doing 60 hours a week for 15 shillings, which really works out at about 3 pennies per hour, which doesn't sound like a lot of money and I guess isn't. But just before we go into how much his money was worth, there's one other thing I want to mention, and that is that a shilling was often called a bob. And there's a line in the book. I want to play that for you now. Here it comes.
"For there he went and took Scrooge with him, holding to his robe, and on the threshold of the door the spirit smiled and stopped to bless Bob Cratchit's dwelling with the sprinkling of his torch." Think of that. Bob had but 15 bob a week himself. He pocketed on Saturdays but 15 copies of his Christian name, and yet the ghost of Christmas present blessed his four-roomed house.
So we heard there, think of that, Bob had but 15 bob a week himself. He pocketed on Saturdays, which suggests, like I said, that he did work 6 days a week, getting paid on the sixth day, the Saturday. And it carries on, he pocketed on Saturdays but 15 copies of his Christian name. and yet the ghost of Christmas present blessed his four-roomed house. So there we go. His Christian name being Bob, and that's why they say 15 copies of his name, because a shilling was a bob. Now, just I did look into where the term Bob comes from, and I found a couple of possible explanations. The first one is from the late 1700s, and it could be derived from the word bawby, which meant a half penny. Well, a shilling ain't a half penny, so I don't know why that's one of the options. The second one is, I think this one's a bit better, but I don't know if it's true. This is in the 1864 Dictionary of Slang from John Camden Hotten, and apparently Bob comes as a shortened version of Bobstick from Sir Robert Walpole. Now, Sir Robert Walpole was the Prime Minister from 1721 to 1742. That means he was in charge for 21 years. I'm guessing Bobstick is like a shortened version of Robert Bob Walpole. The pole means sticks, a bobstick. Now, he was also the Chancellor of the Exchequer before he became Prime Minister, and he reduced land tax. Now, originally it was 4 shillings. He reduced it down to 3 shillings, then 2 shillings, and then down to 1 shilling. And so that's possibly why Bobstick, which became Bob, was used to mean shilling. Can't say for definite, but that's what I found. So, going back to Bob's wage, we know Bob earns 15 shillings per week. Like I said, that's 180 pence. That's actually less than a pound, because back then it was 240 pence to the pound. So he was earning less than a pound a week. Now, one place I read was that the average wage for a clerk in a counting house would be 11 shillings and sixpence. Sixpence is actually half a shilling. So it suggests that Bob was actually earning 3.5 shillings, 20%, over 20%, more than the average person doing the same job as himself. I don't think that's true. I couldn't find any actual source for where they got that figure from. And also, were those records being kept in 1843? I don't know. But that's what a couple of places, different places I looked, it was quoted that the average wage was 11 shillings and sixpence. Again, I don't know. It also said that the average wage for a labourer would be about 8 shillings, which is only just more than half of Bob's 15 shillings. So he did have a skill, you know, he was an educated man working in a counting house. So you'd expect that he's earning more than perhaps a lowly labourer. But I don't really think we've got a comparison with other people doing the same job as him. There were essays at the time were coming out in the Victorian era with titles such as How to Live on 8 Shillings Per Week. Again, this is just a little bit more than half of what Bob was earning a week. So, you know, they're suggesting that people can live on 8 shillings, and Bob was living on twice that, almost. So, it's the situation we've got here is, unless we had records from what he should have been earning back then, we can't really compare his wages to other people. There are points in the book where it states that Scrooge, even though he was stingy, especially with his own money, he was honest in his labour. Like, you know, he wouldn't steal from people. Everything he did was by the book. That suggests that he would have paid Bob a proper wage, the going rate, for his services. I don't know if that's definitely true. You see, then we've got another bit. I'll play the clip for you.
Mr. Scrooge, said Bob, I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast. The founder of the feast indeed, cried Mrs. Cratchit, reddening. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it. My dear, said Bob, the children. Christmas Day. It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, she said, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow.
Now, although Cratchit's wife is saying that he's an odious and stingy and hard, unfeeling man, but she doesn't say that he's being underpaid for his job. So again, we're left with the idea, is he on a poor wage or is he on a decent wage? I really don't know what to say about that. Now, another thing that I want to talk about is a tweet that went around, and it said this. Time for your annual reminder that according to A Christmas Carol, Bob Cratchit makes 15 shillings a week. Adjusted for inflation, that's $530.27 a week, or $27,574 a year, or $13.50 an hour. Most Americans on minimum wage earn less than a Dickensian allegory for destitution. Now, instantly, I can tell you one thing wrong with that. We talked earlier about how many hours Scrooge would be doing. Now, they've got it down that that's a 40-hour week. Well, it's not a 40-hour week, because we know he works 6 days. So even if he was only doing 8 hours in his 6 days a week, his hourly wage wouldn't be $13.50. It would actually be $11.05. But again, back in Victorian times, they were doing 10-hour days, so it would be a 60-hour week. And that gives us an hourly wage of $8.84. So just instantly, we can tell that this is not quite accurate. But this tweet, it was posted originally by a gentleman by the name of Chris Thompson, and it was shared by thousands of people on both Twitter and Facebook. So for a start, they've got the figures wrong. If we look into it deeper, the tweet is just really completely wrong. I think we can just accept that. But I think one of the things we need to take into account here is not that Bob Cratchit was destitute. He wasn't destitute. He had a four-roomed house. He was feeding a family of eight. He had six children and him and his wife. So that's eight people on his wage. I'm guessing his wife was doing work, but that's not mentioned in the novel. But also, they were eating fairly well. It was Christmas. They could afford a goose. It does suggest that it was a very small goose. But at the same time, there was enough food there for the whole family. They had enough money to make a Christmas pudding, and they could afford to have a bowl of apples and oranges on the table. So really, all these people that seem to be looking at it through modern day eyes, I think they really need to just accept the book for what it's saying. And the point of the matter is, although Cratchit isn't poor, he's not wealthy either, and he does work hard for Scrooge. And really, what the Ghost of Christmas Present is trying to show Scrooge isn't look how poor Bob is, because it's a lovely picture that it paints. It's a happy family. You know, they're not wealthy. They talk about the clothes they're wearing, which may be a bit threadbare. They talk about how it's not a massive feast, but it's a nice feast. But the whole idea is, although they haven't got masses of money, they're happy. And that's what the Ghost of Christmas Present is trying to show Scrooge. Not that, look, you don't pay him enough, so they're living on bread and water, because they're not. You know, they have a nice Christmas meal. So all these people that want to try and read more into it and compare and contrast with today's wages, I don't really think you can. I don't think that's how it works. I think you've got to read the book and accept it for what it is. But at the same time, it was an interesting rabbit hole for me to go down, but really, I feel like I didn't learn much. So then I passed the fact that I didn't learn much on to you, and you've had to sit there going, hang on, so what are you telling me, Jack? Are you telling me nothing? Pretty much, yeah, I'm actually pretty much telling you nothing. How about this? Don't believe everything you read on Twitter. I don't even go on Twitter. I'm sure it's great, though. So there, that is this episode's talk about A Christmas Carol. I hope it gave you a bit of an insight, and you can take from it what you will. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
This is it, boys and girls. This is the bit where I actually get to sit down, put my feet up and relax. I've got about 2 minutes now of downtime where I can take it easy, because my mate Bob Baker is taking over the show. This week he's talking about, do you know what, every episode I say, I'm not going to tell you what he's going to talk about because he'll tell you. And then last week I suddenly thought, I wonder if the people are thinking, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even listen to the clip. He just slips it in there. I do know, actually. And this week, he's talking about crisps. So this is Bob Baker talking about crisps. Take it away, Bob.
So I know I told you that I saw the doctor recently. He thinks he knows everything. He told me that if I drink every day, I'm going to have a problem. Well, Dr. Smarty Pants, I only drink every night. Now, there are a number of English holiday traditions that I envy. Christmas pantomimes, Boxing Day, roasting chestnuts, mince pies. But today, on Do You Hear What I Hear, I want to discuss one of my favorites, the different flavored crisps that come out during the Yuletide season. I have seen such exotic pairings like turkey and stuffing, maple and chili parsnip, in Winterberry and Fizz. There was even a Christmas tree flavored one, which I really wanted to find. I got all caught up in the excitement until I had to ask myself, what the heck is a crisp? In America, crisp is the fall weather. Crisp is a bite of an apple. Crisp is a sensation, but it's not a thing. And it definitely is not a potato chip, which is what a crisp is most commonly thought of to our British friends. Now I can understand how thin slices from a potato are considered chips off the old spud block. But I have a hard time understanding how, after they have been deep fried, they are called crisps. I would say crunchies is more like it. I suppose it all doesn't really matter though, as the Brits have cornered the market on festive flavors. And I am waiting for the day when I can go pick me up a super value, family-sized bag of Christmas-flavored English crisp chips at my local Walmart. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, one thing I've got to address there is I'm surprised that I've never done a segment on this, because every year in the UK they do bring out loads of Christmas-flavoured crisps. I say loads, it's probably maybe less than a dozen, but they're out there, you know. You're always guaranteed the turkey and stuffing ones, and let me tell you something, do you know what they taste like? Well, not turkey and stuffing, really. I mean, a lot of these ones that tell you what, if they didn't tell you what the flavour was and you were just eating the crisp, you'd think, what is this meant to be? And then you read it on the packet, you go, well, they gave it their best shot, I suppose. Maybe this Christmas I'll have to have a look, see what crisps they've got in the shops, see if it's worth doing a segment on it. If not, I won't. There you go, simple. Thank you so much, Bob. You know I love that segment. Now let's move on and do... Oh, actually, while you're here, Bob, could you do this?
Wreck the halls with Christmas falling. Fra la 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 la.
So I got an email from Bob Baker a little while ago, and it said, I have another idea for another segment if you are interested. A while ago, I did a book proposal for a book called Wreck the Halls, and it was a collection of personal anecdotes of my favourite Christmas disasters. They may feel like a disaster at the time, however you laugh about them later and retell the story every year. And he's given me a personal example. Now, I like this idea. It's kind of like the stories of shame, but it opens it up as a much broader category. Now, I'm going to play Bob's story of Wreck the Halls for you, because here it comes.
For this inaugural episode of Wreck the Halls, we are looking for stories of favorite Christmas disasters. Well, this may sound like story of shame. These aren't bad things that you've done, but these are the things that just go wrong by fate or chance. It may feel like a total disaster at the time. However, you learn to laugh about it later and it becomes a story that you retell every year. Most every family has an experience like this, and you realize that these events are also what makes the holidays so memorable and enjoyable. I want to give you my own personal example. My wife and I were married in November, and we returned from our honeymoon at the beginning of December. We hadn't lived together before, so this was going to be our first Christmas. We had an apartment in the city, and we got a giant real tree. Given the arrangement of the furniture, we had to place it in the center of the room. We are decorating it on my birthday, which is December 8th, and as a wedding gift, we had received large, custom, hand-blown glass ornaments and a personalized tree skirt. I wanted so bad for our night to be intimate and romantic, so I had the lights off, candles lit, and we were drinking rum and eggnog. We used silver garland, white lights, icicles, and our very fancy colored ornaments. The Christmas lights on the tree cast a warm glow and really created a magical feeling. Plus, it was snowing outside, which just reinforced the festive mood. When I went to refill our eggnog, I turned on the light to see better. This also turned on the overhead ceiling fan. In a few seconds, the tree began to slide. Garland had caught in one of the fan blades, and it was now spinning the tree around. As it propelled faster, the electric cord unplugged and it started smacking both of us. I tried to grab the tree, but the decorations started flying off and shooting around the room like little missiles. I had to crawl back over to the light switch to turn the fan off while holding a cushion to block the smashing ornaments. After I got it stopped, the tree hung from the fan like a clump of wet seaweed. It was so disappointing at the time. But looking back, we have probably received more joy from sharing that story over the years than we ever would have got from that beautiful first Christmas tree.
Thank you so much for that, Bob. And Bob's put, I have a bunch of other stories that I've collected from people, but you can get your listeners to send them in and you'd be surprised how everyone has a story. And everyone does have a story. So if you want to send in your Christmas story, doesn't have to be the story of shame. This is like stories of shame, but it's where things have gone wrong. Send it in. Tell me a story. Share your Christmas memories with everyone because we all want to hear them and we all have them. And it's so nice to hear other people's stories. So again, thanks for the idea, Bob. I'm hoping this will be a long running segment if people send in their blooming ideas. Yeah. Now let's move on and do... What are we doing? Really? Oh goodness, you're in for a treat, boys and girls. Because it's this... Here it comes, boys and girls. Yes, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Do you know what? Just before I say the joke, right? I am still mining that book I got at Christmas, Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes. I'm still getting the jokes out of there. Are you ready? This is the joke. I always say that. Are you ready? Nothing's ever going to prepare you for the jokes. They're that good. So I say, are you ready? Fact of the matter is, you couldn't be ready because it's so good. Here comes the joke. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick. Now, I hope you're thinking two things. Firstly, you're thinking, that is hilarious. I nearly did a wee in my pants. It was so funny. I did do a wee in my pants. That's the first thing you're going to be thinking. But the second thing you should be thinking is, that's not a Christmas joke. And you know what? It's not. I've got to say, there's a section in this book, Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes. It's a bit of a cop-out. If you ask me, because it's jokes that you might find in a Christmas cracker. And I feel like, well, you could just chuck any joke in there then. You could have like half the book as that, and then they're not Christmas jokes for grumpy blokes. Like, just because you've seen the joke in a Christmas cracker, it's not really a Christmas joke, is it? Is it? Oh, it is. I stand corrected. Shall we move on? Yeah. I'll make the joke Christmassy next time. Let's move on. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Here it is, kids. It's the quiz, it's the quiz, it's the quiz, it's the quiz, it's the... Do you know what? I've already played the jingle, and now I'm singing about the quiz again. Should we just stop that and just do the quiz? Okay, just a little aside here. Last episode, I kept saying, yeah, we've got 10 questions and then 10 songs. And it's not 10 questions, it's 10... It is 10 questions. It's not 10 songs, it's only 5 songs. So if I keep saying 10 questions, 10 songs, just accept that I'm lying, really. I'm mistaken, but at the same time, I'm lying. Now, here comes the first one. I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to make a big thing about it. I read out the questions. You write them down. You better write them down. You better write them down. I want a hard copy of your answers. And then I hum some songs and you write those down. You better write them down, although I don't want a hard copy of those ones. I want a soft copy. Does that mean something? Soft copy? And then at the end of it, I give you the answers and you rejoice because you got them all right. Or you wallow in self-pity because you got them all wrong. I don't know what your score is because no one emails me and tells me. Not one person since I started the quiz has even bothered to tell me their score. I don't care. I just hope you're enjoying listening. Right, here we go. Question number one. The word mistletoe comes from the Anglo-Saxon word mistletan, which means little dung twig. True or false? Is the answer true or is it false? Number two. In what year were the first ever Winter Olympics held? I'll give you a clue. It was the dinosaurs that held it. Okay, so it's a little while ago, and it wasn't really the dinosaurs. I'm being a silly bugger. Okay, that was it was humans. It wasn't animals. It was humans in the Winter Olympics in 1924. What year was that? I don't know. I've given away. Ignore what I just said. Okay, question number three. Which 2006 Christmas movie starred Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't Two Girls, One Cup. Dear. If you've never seen that, do not look it up. Just forget I said that. Right, question number four. When making a Christmas pudding, which direction should you stir the bowl for good luck? Okay, which direction you're going to stir it? You got the spoon, you got the bowl. Which way are you stirring? Do you want good luck? Do you want bad luck? Make up your mind by the way you stir. Question number five. What unconventional Christmas movie stars Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman? That's easy, isn't it? Before turkey, the traditional English Christmas dinner... This is question number six, is it? Before turkey, the traditional English Christmas dinner included a pig's head with mustard. When I first read this, I thought it said a pig's head with a moustache. But it's not a pig's head with a moustache, although he might have had a moustache. I don't know, maybe they shaved it. True or false, anyway. Before, we used to, in this country, we used to eat turkey for Christmas dinner. We used to eat a pig's head with mustard. What if you don't like mustard? You're going hungry on Christmas Day, probably. Right, that was question six. Here comes question seven. In what movie does Tim Allen have to become Father Christmas after accidentally killing him? Accidentally killing Santa Claus in the film The Santa Claus. Which movie did Santa... I think I've given that away again, haven't I? Okay, right. Question number eight. In Spain, what is traditionally eaten as the clock chimes midnight at New Year? What is traditionally eaten in Spain at New Year when the clock strikes midnight? Question number nine. According to the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what wouldn't the other reindeers let Rudolph do? Interesting way of wording that question, wasn't it? Let's do it again. According to the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what wouldn't the other reindeers let Rudolph do? And question number 10. What is Father Christmas known as in France? Okay, there's your 10 questions. Here come your 10 songs. Okay, are you ready? I'm humming them. Now, this is... I am probably humming them. That's why it sounds the way it does. Okay, I'm humming. I'm not going... do. Did you get that one? That was question number one. What song was that? It wasn't a question. That's just a joke. Right. Here comes the first song. I'm going to do 10 of these. Get it? Because I'm only doing 5. We talked about this earlier. Number one. That was song number one. Song number two. Quite a long one, that one, wasn't it? I don't think it needed to be that long, but it was. Question number three. Question number something. That's what we get. Question number something else. How was that? Really good. Question number... Oh, that was it. That was all your five. Right, here we go. Here comes your answers. Question number one. What the word mistletoe comes from the Anglo-Saxon word mistletan, which means little dung twig. True or false? Well, the answer is false. It actually means shitty stick. It doesn't. It means dung twig, which is the same as that rude thing I just said. In what year were the first ever Winter Olympics held? That was, you ready? 1924. I did not know that, but now I do, and I will forget it probably by the morning. Question number three. Which 2006 Christmas movie starred Kate Winslet and... 2006! 16 years old that film is. Goodness me. If you were born when that film came out, well, you'd be 16. That's maths. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah. Which 2006 Christmas movie starred Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz? It was The Holiday. And I quite enjoyed that film. I do like it. I think my problem I've got with it is that it ends after Christmas. And I like a Christmas movie that ends either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It's just the way I feel about these things. How do you feel? You just want me to carry on with the answers? Okay, I'll do that then. Fine, if you're going to be like that. Right, when making a Christmas pudding, which direction should you stir the bowl for good luck? And the answer is clockwise. There you go, simple. If you want good luck, stir it clockwise, baby. What unconventional Christmas movie stars Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman? The answer was Two Men and One Cup. That's what we call a callback. No, it was... You're not going to get this one. A tricky one. Yeah, Die Hard. We all knew that. Every one of us. Question number something. Before Turkey, the traditional English Christmas dinner included a pig's head with a moustache. True or false? It says here true. I don't know. I reckon there was probably a big gap between the pig's head and the turkey, personally. I've been wrong before about many things, but I sort of feel like, you know, don't forget Bob Cratchit had a goose. A lot of people had a goose before they were having turkeys because turkeys used to be really expensive. I think there was probably a gap. So, yeah, we'll let them have it. But, you know, if you said false, I don't care, because I don't care whatever you put for any of these answers, really. It's not the attitude, really, is it, at Christmas time? Sorry, I do care. I care a great deal about all your answers. Question number... This is what we're on. Have a guess what number this one is. I'm going number... 6, 7. In what movie does Tim Allen have to become Father Christmas after accidentally killing him? The answer is The Santa Claus. What's interesting is they've put... Look, does he have to become Father Christmas? Because I think they were worried if they put he has to become Santa Claus after accidentally killing him. And the answer is Santa Claus. Bit of a giveaway there. To be honest, the whole thing's a giveaway. Everyone knows that film, don't they? Question number eight. In Spain, what is traditionally eaten as the clock chimes midnight at New Year? Are you ready? Grapes. I didn't know that. So we've all learned something today. The Winter Olympics were first held in 1924. And in Spain, they eat grapes. The rest of them pretty straightforward. Right. Question number nine. According to the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what wouldn't the other reindeers let Rudolph do? The answer is use their toilet. Because he'd make a mess and it was disgusting. And they'd be like, oh, Rudolph, you've done it again. It's all at the back of the bowl again. You've done it. Go and clean. If you want to use it, you can clean it. Actually, no, that's not what it says. Sorry, it says they join in any reindeer games. So they probably did let him use their toilet. And question number 10. What is Father Christmas known as in France? And the answer is John. So that was an interesting one because isn't that Père Noël, which means, do you know what that means? Père Noël, do you know what it means? Father Christmas. Père means father, spelled P-E-R-E. And Noël means Noel. So they called him Noel, Father Noel. Nope, Noël means Christmas. So that's what it means. There we go. That's the... I forgot. We've got these blooming... I'm not humming them again. So the first one was White Christmas. The second one was All I Want for Christmas Is You. The third one was The Fairy Tale of New York. The fourth one was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And the last one was Baby, It's Cold Outside. There we go. That was the quiz this week. If you got them all right, big whoop. If you got them all wrong... Yeah, who cares? You know what? It's Christmas. Go and have some turkey or some mistletoe. Do something. I don't know. We'll have the quiz again next week. I've just gone through. We are sort of getting a bit low on the quiz. We're about halfway through my quiz that I bought at the car boot sale. I'm going to have to keep my eyes peeled for another Christmas quiz in the car boot sale. So, yeah. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Should we do something else? Or should we just sit here in silence? Well, you do what you want to do. I'm going to do something else. Here we go. This episode's recommendation is a podcast called The Total Christmas Podcast. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, I'm already listening to it, Jack, and it's crap. Yeah, well, that's fine. You can think that if you want. I'm not recommending it for your entertainment, okay? I got an email from my US correspondent, Scott Newman, and this is what it says. Hey, Jack, I had a brilliant idea tonight that I wanted to share with you. I suffer from tinnitus. Some people say tinnitus. I'm saying tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. And I'm a light sleeper, so I need to sleep with headphones on and some kind of audio playing. I use an old iPod because the battery lasts all night. I usually listen to documentaries or something else that's dry and boring, but tonight I decided to mix it up, so I downloaded all 62 episodes of your show and put them on my iPod. I'll report back on the quality of my sleep while listening to your show all night on shuffle. So there you go, kids. There you go. This is my recommendation. If you're having trouble sleeping for whatever reason, listen to my podcast, because apparently it's going to put you to sleep. Apparently, it's actually more dry and boring than some crappy documentary. So there we go. That's this episode's recommendation. If you want to be put to sleep with sheer boredom, you're probably already asleep. You probably fell asleep like 5 minutes into the episode, because that's how dry and boring I am. Yeah, so that's this episode's recommendation. A podcast called The Total Christmas Podcast, hosted by a gentleman by the name of Jack. You can find it on iTunes, or like, you can find it pretty much where you are now. It's there. It's in your ears. That's where you can find it. Have a look in your ears. It's in there now. It's going into your brain. Can you believe that? I've sort of discussed this before. My voice, I'm recording this on the 25th of August, 2022. I don't know when you're listening to this, right? I'm recording this on the 25th of August, 2022. Right? My voice, yeah? And now, my voice, wherever you are, whatever date it is, you know, it could be like a week's time. Could be, actually, when's it going out? It could be like 3 days' time, or it could be like, I don't know, 10 years' time, right? My voice is in your brain. That's my voice, in your brain. I'm in your brain, and I'm dancing. Do-do-do, dancing in your brain. Do-do-do, Jack's dancing in your brain. Do-do-do, and you're there going, get out of my brain, Jack. Get out of my brain. You don't belong there. You don't belong in my brain, Jack. Well, I'm in there. I'm in there, and I'm doing all sorts of strange things. Things that you wouldn't want to think about. Things you can't think about, because I'm in your brain. I'm in control now. I'm not in control, actually. You're in control. Just take your earpods out, and I will be out of your brain. It's an interesting concept, though, isn't it? Hey? Yep. Well, I think it's interesting. Anyway, back to what I was saying. If you want to go to sleep, right, listen to this crap. It's dry and boring, according to my mate Scott. How you doing, Scott? Anyway, I'm in your brain, Scott. I'm in your brain. Ah, dear. Anyway, shout out to my mate Scott Newman. While I'm here, why don't I recommend also Scott's podcast, Tinsel Tunes. It's brilliant. I absolutely love it. It's my only problem with it. It only comes out once a month. I wish it was weekly or at least fortnightly. But there you go. That's this episode's recommendation. My podcast is better than Night Owl. Do you get Night Owl where you live? It's like a sleeping pill. Let's say it's better than a tranquilizer. It's better than an Ambien. How's that? Something, isn't it? And that is it for this episode. Oh, that flew by, didn't it? It was a short one, actually. Short episode today. I'm sorry about that. It's like 40 minutes. To be honest, when I started this show, it was meant to be between 35 and 40 minutes. And then I started like adding more stuff, and it was going up and up. And then sometimes I'd do an interview, and it would go like over an hour. So this one is going to be just about 40 minutes, just under 40 minutes, maybe. I don't know. If I keep talking now, it'll go over 40 minutes. Shall I stop talking? Because this is the end of the episode. But I do hope you've enjoyed it. Please, please get in touch. That is why I do this podcast, because I love the emails I get from people. Don't expect me to reply, because I've been really slack at that lately. Even Scott, you know, me and Scott, I consider ourselves to be friends, and sometimes I'll leave it a week before I reply to his emails. Mainly because I'm a git, but also it is the summer holidays, and I've sort of got my hands full, because I work a lot, and also I've got the girls off school, and I'm trying to spend as much time as I can with them. Juno's starting school in a week and a half's time, which I'm not looking forward to, because that means she's no longer going to be a preschooler. She's actually going to be at school. So, but anyway, don't let that put you off. Please email me, send me a message on Facebook. I'm not very good at replying on Facebook, but do something, or do the thing about standing on your fence and just screaming at the top of your voice. I might hear you if you live next door. If you live within like a 5 or 10 house radius of me, I'll probably hear you. I don't think I've got any listeners within about 50 miles of me, to be honest. So anyway, I hope you've enjoyed it. I've said that a few times. That's because that is how much I hope you've enjoyed it. I really, truly hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Total Christmas Podcast. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. So Merry Christmas.
Now off you go and enjoy yourself like a good girl.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge, in keeping with the situation.